the podcast advice you've been following so far is lying to you. It's built on a lie that is silently sabotaging your success and costing you thousands of listeners. That is exactly what you're missing out on. I thought I was doing everything right until I saw this one shocking stat. In recent years, the average human attention span has hit a new low of 47 seconds. You are losing 90% of your audience before you even finish your introduction. Today, I'm going to give you the free psychological cheat codes to instantly seize control of that attention span, grow your downloads, and finally get the vindication you deserve. Because why are you putting all this effort into creating these amazing podcasts and conversations if people click off after the first 47 seconds? It's not fair, right? So let's do better. Insight number one is the visual mind hack, i.e. the thumbnail secret. The biggest lie, that your audience listens first. Wrong, they succeed. Your success is decided by a visual hack before a single second of audio has been played. Fact, the thumbnail drives 65% of the click decision. 65%! If your thumbnail doesn't hit the primal brain circuits in the first 75 milliseconds, they scroll right past, even if your conversation was amazing. So how do we create better thumbnails? Well, we use a rule of one. Colored images cause cognitive overload, forcing the brain to detach and therefore scroll away. You must feature one or two dominant people in your thumbnails and avoid group photos. They just don't work. It's too much information for your brain to handle in 75 milliseconds. Cognitive overload happens. A clear human face activates the viewer's attention span in just 75 milliseconds and boosts your click rate by a lot. When I say a lot, I mean 20%. It's a crazy, crazy difference. We just are so visual. We read facial cues. That's how we survived as hunter-gatherers. Therefore, if we have a clean thumbnail with an emotional face, either a happy or surprised face, they are the two that do best. Different organizations and agencies have been doing surprise and happy face is the best way to go. Keep it simple. One to two people, some simple, bold text that I'll get onto later. And yeah, don't keep it cluttered and you will get a high click-through rate, sometimes even 20% more. It's crazy. Cheat code number two, the narrative arc, the suspense engine. Your episode needs to follow a story arc, a structured story arc, and it is very, very specific. It is exactly the story arc Disney movies use, Hollywood movies use, and your favorite podcasters and YouTubers use to increase that attention span from 47 seconds to the rest of their video, however long that may be. Because guess what? Attention span is short and it's getting shorter. But how come you're able to binge watch an entire Netflix series for 12 hours every day or an entire YouTube series for just as long? It's because they follow a structured story arc. The first part of this three-part story arc is the setup. It's the beginning where you introduce the characters. And then the second one is the confrontation. That is where you introduce the conflict. Conflict is super important. We'll get to that later. And then after the confrontation, the resolution. The conflict is resolved, the happy ending, everybody's happy or not. There's a cliffhanger that leaves an open loop, which is super, super effective. Cliffhangers always do great because it leverages the Zeigarnik effect. Our brains hate open loops and crave open loops to be closed. And therefore, if you leave your stuff on a cliffhanger, i.e. there's no resolution in your story, people will click on to the next episode of your show or your video or your story. So conflict. Without conflict, there is no story, just rambling events. Therefore, we need to include conflict in our titles, our thumbnails, and our podcasts. And how do we do that? Well, we introduce a problem that the audience is facing, whether it's high cholesterol, depression, loneliness. We introduce that during the episode and ask the guest or talk about it to the viewer directly to them, because 90% of people watch podcasts or listen to podcasts by themselves. Therefore, if you direct someone, if you talk to someone directly and say, you, this is your problem, I'm helping you, I'm with you, I bet you just from listening to that or watching that right now, the fact that I'm saying you, you're the viewer, I'm only talking to you and nobody else, it directly addresses you, you get more of an emotional response, your is more hooked. Therefore, you end up watching more of this video because I'm talking to you and I'm rooting for you. It's really effective, very, very effective. So how do we increase the retention and make sure the story arc is effective as possible? Well, we implement a psychological bias and heuristic or tactic or hack, whatever you want to call it, called the peak end rule. Listeners recall the entire experience based on the highest emotional peak and then the finish of the episode. So do not bury your climax just before the conflict is resolved. Structure your content to create palpable tension and deliver the resolution or key insight exactly where the listener will remember it most vividly. So lead it up and then maybe two-thirds of the way in, then have the actionable insight and the resolution. But before that, you need to be building up the tension. You'll be talking about the conflict, talking about the problem, but not saying the exact solution. And then at the end of the episode or the second third of the episode, so two-thirds into the episode, that is when you talk about the solution or ask the guest about the solution. People remember the peak and then they remember the end of the episode. So always try and end it on a high, or like I said, an open loop by leaving a cliffhanger, because that is exactly what people remember the most. So the neuroscience hack is the open loop command. I mentioned it earlier, but let me go into more detail about it now. Activate the Zeigarnik effect. Never fully finish. The human brain remembers unresolved tension. So the strategy here is to end your episode with a cliffhanger or an unresolved conflict, and that acts as a teaser for the next episode that guarantees a return listener. Just realize that's exactly what The Diary of a CEO does, one of the most popular podcasts. And how do they do that? They make the guest answer a question that the previous guest asked, and then they get the guest on this episode to ask another question for the next guest. That keeps the open loop on. It makes sure they have the Zeigarnik effect in full operation. And I just realize that now, but it's super effective. And I'm not surprised The Diary of a CEO doing this, because they are the best at limbically hijacking you and using these psychological tactics to increase their attention and get you to click onto their videos. So yeah, that is a prime example of leaving your episode on a cliffhanger. Get the guest on your show to write down a question for the next guest, but do not reveal what that question is until the end of the next episode, where the new guest has to answer it live. So effective. I need to start using that in my episodes as well. Another pro tip is reverse the order. Use a technique derived from the cognitive interview. Begin your core segment by describing the resolution or the outcome first, then work backwards through the rising action, i.e. the problem and its steps on each step of the way, how to resolve the problem. That's the rising action. So the lead up to the resolution. So the problem is becoming increasingly more and more, I guess, problematic. And the resolution is almost there, that you're getting closer and closer to solving the problem. That is the rising action, right? This flow is unexpected, but it hooks the brain's novelty bias, because we are very used to the classic story arc of beginning, middle, end, setup, conflict, resolution. If you go resolution, setup, conflict, resolution. And then you go to the setup, introduce the characters, and then conflict, rising action, and then end again on the resolution. That just increases the novelty bias in our brain. And it's different. We love difference, to be fair, as humans. We love novelty. We love new structures. So by doing the opposite, it may actually increase your views and your retention if you do it straight away and don't leave it to the end, because people are so fatigued by clickbait, by the Zeigarnik effect, by not revealing the solution until right at the end. People might actually watch the rest of the video when you put the resolution to the conflict right at the beginning, because then it's new, there's novelty. Wow, he's really trustworthy. He's told me the problem that was put in the title and thumbnail straight away. I'm going to watch the rest of the episode because I now trust him, and because I got the resolution straight away and I want to know how they got to that point. and what steps were there before to get to that point. So interesting, try it out yourself, see if it works. It's based on novelty bias, which is a very, very big part of human motivation and human behavior. Treat code number three, though, is the oxytocin anchor, building ultimate trust. My throat is dry. I apologize for coughing. You aren't just the host. You are fostering a parasocial relationship. What is a parasocial relationship? It's a one-way relationship. So a parasocial relationship is, you know, your relationship with a celebrity. It's when one person doesn't know the other person. It's an unequal relationship. So this is a parasocial relationship right now. You know me by watching my videos. I don't know you. I'm just showing the videos out to the public and letting people watch them. I don't know you personally, but you know a bit about me. That's what happens when you listen to a podcast. As a listener, we build parasocial relationships with the host. We feel like we're friends with them. We feel like we know them so well, even though they have no idea they exist. I have no idea you exist right now. That is a parasocial relationship. Listeners find hosts trustworthy. Up to 63% of listeners trust the host that they've been listening to continuously. You probably trust me a bit more by watching my videos. And the more videos you watch from me, the more you trust me. It's just how we form connections, even if they are parasocial on screens. And guess what? A lot of the time, they rely on your recommendations. 80% or up to 80% of listeners follow guest recommendations. That is a very powerful, and that is because the parasocial relationship has been formed. The student and mentor relationship and friendship has been formed. It's like trusting a close friend. And this intimacy builds emotion. How can we be authentic? How can we build this parasocial relationship and get viewers to return and listen to the full episodes and feel like they're friends with us? Well, the hack is authenticity and empathy. To build this trust, you must trigger oxytocin, the love hormone, the bond-forming hormone we get when we talk to friends or go out with a romantic partner. How do we do that though on a screen, on a parasocial relationship, when we're interviewing a guest or talking one-on-one with a camera? Self-disclosure. Be genuine and be, this is the important word, vulnerable. Share your relatable failures, your personal anecdotes or stories. Frame the advice as personal and demonstrate that you understand their struggle. You know, I suffered with social anxiety quite mildly when I was a teenager. I would go down to the toilets at break time and just sit there just to decompress and avoid people. And it wouldn't have seemed like that because I was sociable when I was talking to people, or I was popular. I wasn't an outcast or anything. But deep inside, I had that pit in my stomach. I had that feeling of butterflies. When I'd finish school, I would go certain ways and leave as quickly as possible. And I'd go the unpopular routes and down a secret route so I wouldn't have to bump into people or walk home with people. And a lot of the time when I ended up walking home with people, it was fine. But my brain just didn't want to socialize. It wanted to run away. And it was that feeling of fear and anxiety. That was me opening up. And that's a true story. I'm sure now you've listened to that, you have more of an unconscious connection and relatability to me, because maybe you've suffered from social anxiety or you're suffering from social anxiety right now. But even if you don't, the fact that I've been vulnerable with you personally, you as an individual, because you're probably watching this by yourself, it's made you feel like you know me more, and therefore the parasocial relationship is being formed. The best way is to be vulnerable and to share personal stories about what you've experienced, what you're struggling with, because a lot of the struggles we have in life are universal: depression, anxiety, lack of motivation, uncertainty, crippling sense of insufficiency, self-doubt, all of these different things that are happening in our lives. We think it's just happening to us, but it's happening to almost everybody. So if we talk about them, we'll get people to bond with us and share their struggles with us, because it shows that we understand them, because we're talking about a thing that they're also struggling with themselves. So you think that's it? Don't worry. There's a bit more left. There's a few more psychological triggers we can use to improve our podcast and increase our retention rate and make sure that the low attention span of the masses, of the viewers, aren't hindering us from having high impact, high view episodes. Because if we don't get a lot of viewers, we will not make a career out of podcasting. So we need to master a few more things One of them is conquering cognitive friction. Poor audio quality is perceived subconsciously as a lack of quality, a lack of expertise. It creates cognitive friction, and that is diverting up to 40% of the listener's mental resources away from your amazing, brilliant message and solely towards decoding the sub. Sound quality is non-negotiable if you want to be a pro podcaster, because it signals expertise and builds trust. Example, when I was doing photography videos, because I'm award-winning BBC featured photographer as well as a podcaster, 2 years ago, I made a photography video saying like how your photography sucks, this is how you can improve it, and follow my tips that have helped me become a good photographer. And I used my camera's audio, so it was really echoey. It wasn't bad. I didn't do any post-production to it. It got a couple thousand views, but all of the views were, your audio's trash. Don't talk to me about improving your photos. What do you know? You can't even make your audio good. See, I remember it because of the negativity bias. See, we have a very sensitive reaction to criticism, which we remember more than compliments. That's just a side point. But yeah, as soon as I started giving tips to people and saying, I'm an expert, I'm above you, I know more than you, listen to my advice and you can become like me, that's all good. But the quality of my audio didn't match that. Therefore, it made me seem like low expertise, which created a cognitive dissonance, because I was saying I was this big expert, but the audio quality signaled that I wasn't because it was bad. Therefore, people didn't trust me. They started giving me hate comments, although it did get a couple thousand views. It attracted the wrong audience. And I'm sure those people that did view and leave comments and certainly didn't subscribe to because of that video, because the audio wasn't good. And it indicates that the rest of your videos are terrible as well. So if you ruin the audio on your podcast, you will not get the results that you desire, because podcast audio quality is the most important part of your podcast. It instantly signals whether you're a pro or an amateur. And you don't have to invest in a £500 Shure SM7B like the one I'm using. You can, in fact, use your phone audio, your Apple AirPods audio to get high quality audio by combining it with AI software on apps like Riverside FM, like I'm using right now, or Descript, like I use in post-production. And I go into that on my Pro Remote podcast blueprint, which goes through the exact step-by-step method I use to get results fast. But I'll tell you more about that later, top link in the description anyway. But first, final closing details for you to take away from this video and the few things that you really need to remember to grow your channel. Well, now you possess the ultimate weapon to defeat the monster of low attention and conquer the digital battlefield, right? This information will not only end your frustration, but grant you the power to grow richer in influence, in views, in status, and just grow your show in general, and, you know, help you become the pro podcaster or the pro creator that you want to be. But do not delay putting this advice into action now. This is your chance to reclaim your destiny and earn the sweet emotional vindication you sought at when you first started this quest of becoming a pro podcaster. You want to get the views, you want to get the attention, you want to grow your show and spread your message. Well, by using these psychological methods and triggers to increase the attention span of the viewer on your episode and keep them hooked in, will certainly guarantee that. So if you want to know the exact blueprint that I use to go from no idea of how to start a podcast with just a laptop to Europe's fastest growing under 21 podcaster with over 4 million views across all social media platforms, with 50 plus, almost 60 plus guests now, and counting, I did 2 episodes today and also had a call with one of my students who were on this course, and they've secured 2 guests from using the AI email templates that I use every single day that I gave to him for free as part of the course, alongside all my other templates like the AI title optimization template, where you just put your transcript of the episode into this AI template and it gives you 20 plus super engaging examples that will increase your views, as well as by using the tactics I told you today. And everything else you need to know about the podcasting world and how to start a successful show and do so whilst also avoiding all the mistakes that I made along the way, this is exactly for you. If you want to become a pro podcaster at 21, at 51, at 91, It doesn't matter. You can do it from your bedroom. You can do it with just a laptop. You can do it with just your camera. You can do it from the middle of nowhere in Antarctica. You can do it with a big studio. You can do it however you want to do it. I'm showing you the fundamentals of podcasting. And Rob from my program, my first student who's got it half price because he came early, like you can still do now, is reaping the rewards that you could only dream of. And the only way to reap those rewards is to click the top link in the description and join the Pro Remote Podcast Blueprint, my Pro Remote Podcast Blueprint, where I'm collecting a group of ambitious people who want to become pro podcasters. And the best way to become a pro podcaster is to join this community where we hold each other accountable, and you can join live weekly calls with me and the rest of the students like Rob and get personalized feedback on exactly how to grow your show. Rob is getting one-to-one feedback with me, which usually costs thousands of pounds, one-to-one coaching, because he's the first student to join. He has come early. He's got it half price for just $47. So if you want to get it early before I double the price, if you want to get the results like Rob does, which include gaining new guests to come onto your show, starting your show from scratch and following my exact blueprint, and you want personalized feedback with me, and you actually want to become a podcaster and take this stuff seriously, because these videos are great on my second channel, because this is my second channel, by the way. But if you really want to become a pro podcaster, this is the blueprint. This shares everything, all my secrets. There's a lot of things that I only have in this Pro Remote Podcast Blueprint that I don't say on this channel. So if you really want to take podcasting seriously and get feedback from me every single week, top link description, you won't regret it. I am rooting for you. I promise you, you can do this. You can start your own show. I'll see you on the course, in the community, on the calls very soon. Get a half price. You're very early if you're watching this. Goodbye.